Hello and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at Eric Talk Stros. Find the show at Locked On Astros. Your team every day. Brett, where can I find you at?
They can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter and at Stros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive, always Stros.
I guess the question of the day is, did the Astros win? Yes, it's like 12:53 a.m., and so we stayed up. We did it. We're men. We stayed up for this entire game, and it was one of those games where it looked like it was going to be one of those games where the Astros were going to kind of throw it away. But you know what? Sometimes you have the right parts and in the bullpen, and you get the job done. And today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them the Locked On Astros sent you by. And so I know looking at today's game, you might say, well, why did you bring in Brooks Raley? He gave up that home run. And then Luis Garcia had his whole that six inning kind of go to waste, and he had the extra earned run scored, all that. But I think in that situation, Brooks Raley was the right call. And I know you're not going to hear this, but Baseball America did this whole survey of baseball managers, players, and baseball executives. And you know who the number two manager of the American League manager, the top managers out there were?
Yes, Dusty Baker. That's right.
So all those people out there hating on Dusty Baker, his peers are saying that he's the second best American League manager. Bob Melvin is number one, and I think who is it? Kevin Cash, with the Rays, is number three in American League. And so, I mean, it could be based on the winning records. It could be based on what you're given to it with, but I'll take that. So the Astros did win. And the A's did not play, so you did beat a division rival, a team that has been kind of iffy. I think they're now 15-16 since they traded Kendall Graveman. Now the Mariners have. So yeah, this was a great game. This especially, in fact, Joe Smith was the guy who got the loss here, and we'll have to talk about that inning because that was a weird inning. The fact that they had the error, not only the error but the also the whole not throw there that allowed Kyle Tucker to score.
Yeah. It didn't. I don't know if he didn't think the catcher was ready for the throw or what was going on. I don't know that there was a target to throw to. I heard Blummer and Callis talking about it and kind of breaking that down. But I was surprised with Brooks Raley right there, because if you look at Brooks Raley's last four starts against Seattle, he's given up runs. He's given up home runs. And I believe he gave up a home run to that same hitter today. Was it Dylan Moore, I believe, right? And so that kind of was a questionable move. I still think that there's going to be moves that Dusty makes that I'm not thrilled with, but in the end it worked out. I know I was questioning Kendall Graveman not going in there, but apparently Dusty said before the game that they were wanting to rest Graveman, that he needed a rest. I don't think he's hurt, but Stanek went in, dude, and I mean he crushed it. Three strikeouts, just absolutely blew him away with his heater, and he looked like a better Stanek. He looked like, I don't know, he looked rejuvenated. I don't know what it was about him tonight, but he was sharp, and that's what you have to do in a close game like this. This is a team win where the veterans and the rookies all contributed.
Right. So before this game, in the last seven games, Raley had in the last seven games, he had a 1.29 ERA, had 11 strikeouts and seven innings pitched. In his last 15 games, he had a 3.65 ERA. In his last 30 games, he had a 3.51 ERA. So he's earned the trust. And
no,
so,
but what I'm saying is against Seattle, though, I'm not saying what he's done in the last seven games. I'm saying you look at his last four games against Seattle. And he's given up runs. He's given up a home run to the same guy, Dylan Moore. That's why I questioned that move right there. Again, I don't manage a team. I'm not Dusty Baker. I know him and Brent Strom and the coaches, they all talk. I just find it hard to believe that you would put him in there. Luckily, the Astros came back. Luckily, they had enough firepower, and they were able to do enough, and you caught Seattle on their heels, like you said, in that interesting inning.
I'm not sure if this is updated, but Dylan Moore versus Brooks Raley this year, he's got 2 home runs and 6 RBIs against him. So
yeah, so that's why I wouldn't have put him in there against him, per se. I mean, right. Who knows? Maybe he's just seen the ball well tonight, and maybe if Maton goes in there, he does the same thing.
Don't worry about it. You know what? Moore is going to help us a little bit later by not making that throw. And because Kyle Tucker, if he made a good throw, Kyle Tucker would have been out, or Kyle Tucker may not have even gone to gone home, because that was a weird play in that whole situation. But how about Jake Meyers making another big hit in that situation? And I think even Kyle Tucker was surprised that the throw is not going through. And Carlos Gray earlier in the game was doing a whole swan dive,
right? Oh yeah,
the tag. And
yeah, no, that was a great slide.
That's why I made the title for a thumbnail, the Astros outplay the M's, because it just seems like in this game, I know they made some bad plays, but it seems like the Mariners didn't come to play tonight overall.
No, yeah, definitely. And you know, fundamental baseball, Eric, is key. I mean, these are pros. We expect them to be great every game, and they're going to make errors. They're going to make mental errors, and base running has been one of those things that has been one of the Astros' Achilles heel. If you have any parts of their game you can pick apart, it's been their base running. And tonight they did it really well. They took advantage of it. Carlos with a genius slide into home. And then, like you said, Jake Meyers, this kid has confidence and it's building. Chaz McCormick hit a 2-run home run today for the Skeeters in El Paso, and he had a rehab start, and so it is it's going to be interesting to see what happens when he comes back. Does Jake Meyers hold on to that center field spot? I think he's earned it, but it seems like Dusty Baker
had a double tonight.
A double? Was it a double or a home run?
Yeah, he was 2-for-4 with a double and RBI.
Oh, with a double. Okay. I thought the hit I saw was a home run. Okay. Well, double, home run, whatever. He went 2-for-4, and so he's basically nearing his return. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do, if they platoon them. I think if Jake's got the hot bat and Jake's playing, I'm sorry, Chaz, you're coming off the bench.
Yeah, I was talking to Brandon Del Castillo, the baseball lawyer from Talking Strohs, and he was like, dude, that guy, Chaz, I like him and all, but he is the fourth outfielder. He's always been the fourth outfielder. And so we're probably going to see a lot of Jake Meyers, because Jake Meyers has not done anything to make the situation change. And especially, yeah. I was talking to Den yesterday, and he was saying that I don't think either one of them are in a situation to be Wally Pipp right now. To be Wally Pipp, it's going to be somebody coming up next year to be Wally Pipp.
Well, I don't. So far, he's Wally Pipp, Chaz McCormick. I'll tell you that right now. I don't think you're going to see Chaz McCormick take the job from Jake Meyers.
Yeah. One thing I do want to talk about is Luis Garcia. He was a magician. I know that he did get into some trouble in the sixth inning. Had runners on second and first and second. Then he allowed that. Well, I guess Brooks Raley allowed that home run. But he did get some key outs. He made that error, but he stranded runners at third base at least in 2 innings in a row. At first inning,
he had a balk. He had a balk that went in. Yeah. And that's where he was on first and third.
First inning, he allowed the leadoff single to J.P. Crawford. Then he had the 2-0 count to, I think it was Haniger. Then he got the 2-0 count and he got a double play. And so this guy knows how to get out when it counts. And unfortunately, he has that pitch count. So that's why they had to take him out in sixth inning and bring in Brooks Raley in that situation. So, Maton looks pretty good today. And then Stanek came in, and the bullpen, I'm not too worried about the bullpen. The bullpen is going to have some hiccups in the playoffs. They're going to struggle a little bit. You got to understand that the bullpen is not going to be foolproof in that you can't bet on them being totally 100% accurate every game, but for the most part, they'd be great. So speaking of betting, let's talk about betonline.ag.
Yeah, it's that time of year again, and all eyes are now turning to football as teams are back in the gridiron to start the football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest, the world's largest 200,000 NFL survivor contest, open now at BetOnline. head to the website or your mobile device and sign up today and receive your 100% welcome bonus. Be sure to take advantage of their opening day super promo. Make a bet on the Thursday, September 9th season opener between the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys. And if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25 for new customers only when signing up using the promo code NFL100. Bet online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action, from football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino, even baseball. Don't wait and take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. Promo code locked on.
All right, so it's 1:03 a.m. and it's a little too late to go to Hooters right now. But you know what? During the day, it's a perfect time to go to Hooters. So tell us a little bit about Hooters.
Yeah, so they have this thing called Texas Thursdays on Thursday nights. Come see your favorite Hooter girls, calendar girls in cutoff jeans and cowgirl boots, and dance to Copperhead Road. $15 buckets, $5 crafts, and more every Thursday. Located at 20796 Gold Freeway in the Floor & Decor parking lot. They have, whenever there is football on, college football, pro football, go see your favorite team. Get your buds together. Grab your buds. Go have some buds. Get some good wings, some cold beer. Whether it's spicy or mild, it doesn't matter. Anything in between, the world-famous Hooter Girls got you covered, and there is no cover. So go to Hooters at 20796 Gold Freeway. Tell them Locked On Astros sent you.
All right, so I know you mentioned that Graveman was not available in today's game, and since Graveman was traded to the Astros, he's allowed 2 earned runs and 12 innings with 14 strikeouts, 1 walk, and 11 games. So far, I mean, it's too early to say which side won that trade. I mean, I think it's pretty much even, because I think Abraham Toros has been pretty good. Not including today's game, he's got a .313 batting average with 9 extra base hits, 12 RBIs in 30 games. And Joe Smith, before today's game, he was pretty good. He had in 10.2 innings, he had a 0.84 ERA. So
yeah, he's a different pitcher now. He wasn't doing that with the Astros.
Yeah, I know. So that's fine. So I'm not too worried. And it's too early to look at this, but we knew this was going to be a short-term win for the Astros and probably a long-term win for the Mariners, because they were getting a future starter probably for at third base, second base, wherever they want to do it. But speaking of third base, Alex Bregman didn't get the start. Everybody's like, well, he had all this time off. Why are you giving him time off? Just the same way, like, I went back to work today. I'm tired, guys. And he played 3 games in a row.
Yeah, he played 3 games in a row. Right. And when he was out with the hamstring, then he had the quad strain, and those are 2 leg injuries he dealt with back to back. There's no reason to stress him out, especially after you travel and the time is different. You're starting later. Your body clock's off. Let him adjust. It's okay. These are pros.
You have a Ledmus Diaz for a reason, reason, so you can rest guys.
Right. And why would you want to risk your top option just for a win in Seattle that really, in the end, doesn't mean a whole lot other than you gain a half game on the A's? But this is the game, and I knew he was going to rest them because they already talked right about it, so this was no surprise. One thing that this season has taught me, Eric, even with Dusty Baker and all his moves and me being frustrated, is when I don't agree with stuff, I step back and ask myself, okay, why is this going on? And so I'll put on Twitter a lot of times, I'll ask questions. Why is this guy in? Why is he using this guy? And I get a lot of really good feedback from our listeners, from our fans, from people who follow us. And it makes sense to rest Alex Bregman tonight. There's no reason why you don't rest him.
Okay. All right. You can always ask me too.
No, well, I put it out there on Twitter. You're welcome to respond.
I don't always get on the Twitter, so I'm like, today I was too busy. Then when I got home, I crashed. I literally crashed. So speaking of not crashing, we didn't talk about this yesterday because I guess we didn't realize that he was pitching. But Jose Urquidy was on the mound yesterday, and he pitched pretty good, and he pitched 5 innings. I'm trying to find it. I keep on passing it, but he had 5 innings. I think he had 6 strikeouts. Where is it?
I believe he had 5 strikeouts, didn't he?
5 strikeouts. He had 3 hits, 1 earned run, and he had 62 pitches overall, 45 were strikes. And so this was his final rehab outing before he goes ahead and returns sometime this weekend versus the Padres. So this will be a big move for the Astros. I think this is where you're going to see them start going to the sixth man rotation, especially to you've already seen them kind of limit Luis Garcia to the 60 to 70 pitches. You're probably going to see them start doing that with everybody else. But that's also why you saw Brandon Belak come up instead of Josh James. Josh James is with the Astros mm-hmm. as part of the taxi squad.
That's right.
And I don't want to say the other name because everybody's going to be like, oh, your boy's back. But Robel Garcia is back on the with taxi squad. But Brian Abreu, I think we all saw the writing on the wall. He did not look good. And I think that literally he was on taxi squad so long that he was not effective. And that's the problem with the taxi squad is if you're not actually pitching in games, you just get out of it a little bit. So Brandon Belak is up and Brian Abreu is down. And also Josh James is with the taxi squad and he's been really good. He struck out two. I believe he pitched yesterday on Sunday and scoreless innings. And over the last seven outings, he has 7 1/3 innings pitched. 0 earned runs, 1 walk, and 12 strikeouts. So he looks ready, but unfortunately, I don't know if there's any room for him. That's the problem. And even when rosters expand, you're only going up 2 roster spots.
Yeah, I really don't see I don't see him on the roster expansion myself. I don't really know right now at 1:09 a.m. in the morning if I can divulge or basically break that down. That's something I got to think about. But one thing that I'm reminded of, Eric, is like if you want to get games and you're tired of going to like 50 different places, you can get DirecTV Stream. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for all the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more judging remotes, no more juggling remotes. Don't judge them. Just don't juggle them either. And no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package.
All right, while you're judging your car, maybe while you're driving and it's going boom, 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 maybe right. You need to go to rockauto.com so they go boom, boom, booming more. So tell us a little bit about Rock Auto.
That's right. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to go to your local chain store and find all the parts you need for them to stock them. So why endure pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse carries? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using rockauto.com. Why choose to spend 30, 50, sometimes 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership? Rock Auto is a family-owned business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you can need: brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even windshield wipers. We encourage you to go to rockauto.com. Go explore their easy-to-use website today and find the solution for your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box to let them know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliable low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com.
All right, so a little clarification, what you said earlier, Dusty Baker, according to Chandler Rome, said that Kendall Graveman was available. Baker said that Ryan Stanek had been throwing better than Graveman, and Stanek was already loose in the eighth, and they didn't want to sit him after getting him hot. They apparently had no problems doing that to Yimi Garcia earlier, because Yimi Garcia was already starting. So that doesn't address why they didn't bring in Graveman earlier, but Graveman is not going to be brought in the sixth inning.
I was thinking Graveman would be brought in the eighth inning instead of Stanek, but that would mean he pitched 3 games in a row, right?
None of the good starter pitchers pitched Sunday's game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I guess I either misunderstood what what people tweeted out or what people said that Dusty Baker said. I was going off what I guess what I had heard. So I guess I need to check into hearsay more next time, because I was just going off what
I thought you were talking about Brooks Raley, and they're not going to bring him in for Brooks Raley in the sixth inning.
No, I'm completely talking about bringing Grayman in the eighth. Now Stanek started warming up. Okay. When it was 3-2, and because Stanek was already warm and Stanek was basically, there's not enough time once you take the lead for you to, sit down. We're going to put Grayman in. So that makes sense.
It's not that big of an issue because, they end up winning, so it's not a big deal. And Stanek looked pretty darn good out there.
He did. He looked great.
So you know how players sometimes can be the biggest recruiters? Like we saw that LeBron James used to recruit people to go play for the Heat, and he had the big three over there and everything. Well, apparently the Astros were the big recruiter for Marwin Gonzalez. And I did not know this, but they're the ones that say, "Hey, Marwin, we want you back." And especially the big guy out there was Carlos Correa. And he said, "We want you back." And this is what Correa had to say. "I talked to Marwin. I said, we want you here. I would love to be there with you guys again. I talked to Jose and this is what he said. "I would love to be with you guys again. I talked to Jose Altuve and Martin Maldonado. A couple of guys were there all on board of it. We went to the front office and got it done." And so basically the players just went to the front office and said, "Hey, we want Marwin back. We don't care what it takes. Just get it done." And so this is not normal. This is not abnormal. And so what Correa said is that they think that they can get him back to where he was in 2017 and 2018 season. I don't know how they can do that.
That's wishful thinking. I mean, I get it. That's their guy. They're loyal, and I admire them for that. I admire for Correa taking that leadership role. Now, I'm not in the clubhouse. I'm just telling you how I personally feel. I don't think you're going to see him in September. If you do, I would be shocked if he gets much playing time. I mean, you know, maybe you put him in there instead of Chaz McCormick because he's got more playoff experience, but he's not going to see the field often. He'll be in strictly pinch hitting roles, and he was hitting 205 when he was released. So he wasn't even hitting. So like Correa said, they're going to try to fix him and get him back to where they want him to be. And who knows? I mean, he is a legend in Houston. He does have the famous home runs in the World Series.
He is more comfortable here. And he said, He said, I'm glad we can do that. Marwin is not only a Houston Astros legend, but he's also a great ball player. I think we can help him here.
No. Yeah. And, you know, and I understand that aspect of it, but my question is, and wanting to help out somebody that you really like, are you helping the team in the long run with this performance or hurting it ultimately?
Well, that's my question. Yeah, he's going to have to earn his way on the team. Right. I think you said on Twitter, he's going to have to prove to James Click that he's ready. He didn't get a major league deal. He got a minor league deal.
That's true.
He still has to earn his stripe. So he's not going to come knocking on the
door. Yeah, they're not just throwing him out there. Right. No, right. Yeah. Hey, you know what? If it works out, he may surprise us. He may get in there. He may make that roster. He may get a key hit. He may get a pinch hit home run. Who knows?
One thing that I do think has to happen is I do think he has to be added to a 40-man roster. September 1st. So they asked
DFA Robel Garcia.
I'm going to cry.
You would hate that, wouldn't you?
Yes, I would. Or depending on what's going on, Jason Castro, you can always put him on the 68-day IL. But then at the same time, you might need another catcher.
They were getting a second opinion. We're
about to talk about that. So, yeah. So speaking of that, Jason Castro is getting a second opinion on his knee. So they don't really tell you what's going on with his knee, but they're getting a second opinion on his knee, but they don't tell you what's going on. So it's with the catcher, especially, it's never really a good thing when you're talking about the knee because of with all the bending and everything. But Baker did mention that Michael Papirski is somebody who could be somebody they look at in September, because I know that you have that extra spot they can bring up. And in the playoffs, you do want that third catcher. So if Castro is down And we already have Garrett Stebbs up as the second catcher. Then Michael Papirski could be that rookie who kind of makes the Chaz McCormick type leap up here.
And I also read somewhere where all the players that have rehabbed and gone down to Sugarland and played with him have been extremely impressed. One of the player development guys said basically he's one of the best defensive catchers he's ever seen. And so, you know, he went to LSU. He's very good at what he does. He just has had a logjam at the top. So this may be his chance. A very good defensive catcher. He does have some pop. And, you know, who knows? I think that's the thing about October is it's not necessarily about who's on the field. It's about who performs. The Astros have a complete team. They have a complete lineup, complete pitching staff. But who are those key guys that are going to have key moments that are unexpected, like your unsung heroes, right? The Derek Fishers, the Marwin Gonzalez guys like that. And I think anybody coming up to this team, Eric, has a recipe for success because of who they're surrounded by.
So the Astros have two spots that they need to activate open on the 40-man roster. One of them is pretty easy. Sorry, Jacob Wilson, but he would probably be one of them. I know that he showed me shades of Tyler White there, but he's also dealing with concussion. I believe that he was hit in the face by...
He was hitting the helmet, I believe. Helmet. Yeah. Yeah, so, not in the face.
No, so, but
breaking news. Helmets,
so,
yeah.
But so he is dealing with concussion there. So that's why Rebel Garcia is up instead of him. I think the Astros actually see more in Wilson than they do in Rebel Garcia. So I would see Rebel Garcia go first, be DFA'd first. And then Wilson, I don't know. If you have Marwin Gonzalez, I think that he is basically a strong, a healthy and producing Marwin Gonzalez can do everything that Wilson can do. So,
yeah, I mean, yeah. And I mean, only time will tell. And we just have to trust that they make the right moves, that it works out. Like I said, I think this team's deep enough that these players that we're talking about shouldn't be super consequential to whatever happens.
Yeah, and J.P. France was named a AAA West Pitcher of the Week in his last outing. Yeah, he pitched 7 innings with 9 strikeouts. And this is somebody that the Astros need to look at for, not necessarily this year, but definitely down the road. And,
definitely next year.
Yeah, you have pitchers like this who make you wonder, do we really need to throw $30 million at Justin Verlander or Zach Greinke? Definitely not Zach Greinke. I think that time's ended. But
yeah, I honestly think they give him a qualifying offer because don't they get a draft pick if he turns it down?
Well, Verlander, I'm not sure about Greinke, but I think
no, I mean Verlander.
Yeah, Verlander. So yeah, but hopefully Verlander takes it, but I don't think he will. But maybe he will just because he feels some type of duty, but. I don't
know. I don't think he, dude, I saw him diving into a pool. I don't think he's living his best life right now, man. And I just see him going back to Detroit. It just makes sense to me with what they're building.
If him and Correa go to Detroit, that's when it'd be like, oh, okay. Yeah.
That would be odd.
Yeah. But Hinch is building up a pretty good team. So in today's game, it's going to be Lance McCullers versus, I can literally say today's game. It's going to be Lance McCullers versus Kikuchi. The Astros really teed up against him last time. I think Yuli Gurriel said that he was throwing almost 5 miles slower than he normally does.
Oh, wow.
So this is something that the Astros need to look at. The Astros have typically either really done well against him or they've struggled against him. So we'll be able to tell within the first 3 innings. And Lance McCullers, it's all about control. It's about how deep he can go in this game. And
yeah, exactly.
I really like how the Astros starters outside of Greinke and this little stretch we've been going through have really been going kind of 5 or 6 innings. And
they have been doing good. They have been holding up their own. I think the Astros take game 2 behind a solid. I think, you know, you see McCullers get 7-8 strikeouts in the game today. And the Astros tee off on Kikuchi like they did last time. And I think this Mariners team, although they were hot coming into this series, are just, they just seem more vulnerable than they were back then. You know, the Astros did lose 2 out of 3 last time they were in Seattle. So let's just hope they don't do that. Let's hope they win the series. Oakland gets a loss and we just widen the gap.
Okay, and I'm a big Tigers fan right now because they are playing the A's. So go AJ.
There we go. Go AJ. Oh, yeah, always.
Go whoever else is on Tigers. Go Miggy.
We root for two teams, Eric, the Astros and whoever's playing Oakland, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I know the Astros have a big enough lead, but as Dusty Baker said, no lead is enough because we still have, 30-something games left. So,
right.
That's all we got for tonight's Locked on Astros podcast. Thank you all for listening. Keep on subscribing to us on the Locked on Astros podcast on YouTube and keep on listening on Odyssey, Apple, wherever you listen to your audio version. Keep on doing that. And make sure you check out the Locked on Bets podcast. Betting on the Astros doesn't have to be a guessing game. Make sure you listen to Locked on Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, round team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's Lock of the Day. Follow the Locked on Bets podcast brought to you by BetOnline.ag, wherever you get your podcast. And we will talk to you tomorrow, another late night, another edition of Locked on Astros Late Night.